Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski with you on WBEN. Thanks for being with me. I'll be with you for the next 50 minutes or so here on WBEN. Bright and sunny outside, nice to look at. It'll change later on today, so you want to keep it locked right here to give you the updates on when the weather is moving in. It's supposed to be right at about 4 o'clock or so today, where it gets pretty nasty just for your drive home. 803-0930 to join me on WBEN on anything we're talking about today, and there is a lot to get to, as always. Yesterday, began the show talking about ungrading, right? Ungrading in colleges, people finding themselves unprepared for colleges. So how do colleges respond? Not by saying, well, you know, you'll do it, guy. You know, hang on. Try harder. No, they're saying, well, maybe we just won't grade you. we'll be a little easier. We'll peel back the onion. You'll start to understand the root of the problem. Start right here in New York. The State Board of Regents, a scoring committee, recommended the state should make it easier for students to pass standardized tests given in math and English in grades 3 through 8. That's a committee recommendation. We got to make it easier for students to pass these standardized tests. And, you know, you can say what you will about standardized tests, but the lowering of standards, period, I feel like is another issue entirely. The Albany Times Union pointing out some of the absurdity of this in an editorial earlier this week. A recent report from the state comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, found that learning loss was twice as bad in New York than the national average over the last several years. Now, it's probably because we kept schools closed for so long, you know, despite the outcry and obvious need to return kids to the classroom that was pointed out by, you know, everybody, not everybody, but smart people that government leaders refused to listen to. But, you know, double the learning loss here in New York State. Test scores in 2022, much lower statewide than they were in 2019. And, of course, you know, blaming not being in school. That's kind of what happens. But this is from the Times Union editorial. They say, summing it up just perfectly. If an extraordinary event like a pandemic sets back student progress, well, then let's just change the definition of proficiency. You know, why work to make it better? We'll just, you know, ensure the test results reflect as positive a picture of schools and student progress as possible. Just change the definition of what's good and go from there. Don't worry about, you know, actually making it up. We're lowering standards in schools so fast and furiously, I think I might be a doctor soon through no work of my own. Eventually we're going this way. I mean, that should be the way of thinking about it. Like, hey, how soon until that guy could be a doctor? And do you want him over you in the operating room? I don't think so. Maybe that should be the way that we start thinking about it. The student loan payment freeze, by the way, set to end in about a month, and some aren't taking it well. I found this comment on a Wall Street Journal article today. This is the comment. Over not forgiving a $10,000 to $20,000 of loans, they're going to grind the economy to a halt. In the same month, millions of people will have a $300 or more payment that will hit and cause a huge drop in consumer spending. And like I'm thinking here, this kind of shows I think this person was ungraded when he was in college or, you know, maybe graduated from our state in the last couple of years. You know, $10,000 to $20,000, as if his loan is the only one that would be forgiven. That's he is taking this very personally. The total plan would cost $400 billion, but that's only just a slight discrepancy in the figures. And a drop in consumer spending, you know, that's only what the Fed's been trying to do for a year. Cooling inflation. Why is inflation so high? You know, people blame a bunch of different things. Well, one of the reasons is millions of people who had to pay $300 or more dollars a month to pay back these student loans on their bill now didn't. And they've been spending that money on everything from Tootsie Rolls to Toyotas. And if that stops, maybe that cools it a little bit. You know, we've been talking about that for the last, 3 years. But there's some of the comments interesting to me. But there's, you know, a little bit of a wrap-up on ungrading from yesterday. The other big story today that we're talking about is to expect state-authorized recreational marijuana dispensaries to open soon in Buffalo. And what I want to hear from people, 803-0930 on this, is what, if anything, does that mean for you? You know, to give a little background of what happened yesterday, a U.S. Court of Appeals ruled to limit the scope of an, it's, you know, all very legalese, limiting the scope of an injunction that had barred the state from issuing licenses to sell marijuana in Western New York and four other regions. So now it's only the Finger Lakes region, which won't be allowed to have these fully licensed marijuana dispensaries. The state's Cannabis Control Board, you know, this doesn't mean it opens the door for recreational dispensaries to open in Buffalo, authorized by the state, but don't expect them on every corner because the Cannabis Control Board so far has only allotted 22 licenses for the entire Western New York region. And I was asking Elise Bergio earlier this morning, you know, can you define exactly where that is? She didn't, you know, but I look at the map and you've got Erie County, Niagara County, Cattaraugus, Chautauqua, Wyoming. I mean, it's a big region and there's only 22 licenses that are approved. So there's not going to be that many out there, but it opens the door for those licenses to be officially awarded and those approved businesses to open stores selling marijuana for adult use, perhaps soon. Bergio with us earlier said, you know, pop-up stores before the storefronts are fully opened. Expect that to happen in the very near future. So, I had a few thoughts on this when it happened. One, kind of curious timing, maybe, as we're talking about now putting these huge fines on these quote-unquote illegal shops. But you're going to hear now, and you're seeing it this morning, lots of news stories about, you know, oh, finally, we're getting marijuana dispensaries in Buffalo. You know, these shops are finally opening. We're going to be talking to people. What are you most looking forward to buying? You know, what's the first thing you're going to buy? Which is always a funny question to me. I think most people, you have two types of people. You have one who's going to go in like a very specific direction. Well, I'm going to get the, you know, whatever strain in a deluxe edible version. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to make it up. But you're going to get like people who are hyper specific. And then, you know, hey, what are you looking forward to buying? And like the other half of people are going to be like, pot? Like, right? That's the, what do you mean? Isn't that what they sell there? Are there more than one kind? But you're going to have all these things, big ribbon cuttings, you know, oh, here, it's the first dispensary opening. And what, here, a big ribbon cutting. Now, what I want to see when they have these ribbon cutting ceremonies and everything like that, what I really want to see is when all the elected officials line up and we have our first ribbon cutting for, state licensed dispensary in Western New York, and you have the governor and, the mayor there and the county executive and legislators and whoever else, all the state people there. When they do this at other businesses, you know, they do this at a brewery. Everyone has a glass. They raise it, cheers, and take a big swig. You know, they do this at other business. They open up a new kazoo factory. Everyone's everyone would blow the kazoo. I want to see everyone take a big hit when they cut the ribbon. And then about 30 minutes later, I want everyone to be open for questions. That's all I'm asking for. All the elected officials are that when it comes to your town, go to the ribbon cutting ceremony. You take a big puff in celebration of the dispensary opening. And then I'll set my timer for like 25 to 30 minutes or whatever the guy in Birkenstocks tells me to set the timer for. And then I want one-on-one question time. Like, that is when I get excited for the dispensary's opening, because it's tough to make me excited for these dispensaries opening when they're already here. I mean, you go on the Native American reservations, they're everywhere. Route 20, it's like the marijuana mile. And then, of course, the sticker shops that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks, they're already there. I don't know. I want to, how many people are out there? And you can let me know. 803-0930. How many people are out there who are like waiting at the edge of their seat for this to happen and are going to be celebrating when, you know, finally the state authorized marijuana dispensary featuring for the first time New York State taxed marijuana is available? Like, who's waiting in line? Because everyone who smokes pot, they have not had a problem getting weed. Like, it's not like magically, like, wow, I've loved it so much, finally I can buy it. Like, they have it. They might be growing it in their backyard, or buying it from where they've always bought it, or going to some of these sticker shops. Like, the average person might look at that when it happens, right? These news stories, the big ribbon cutting. You might be looking at that and saying, like, why are they so excited? There's two of these around the corner from me. What's the difference? When we talked with Elise Bergio, I wanted to ask her, you know, what is the difference? And she said, well, you know, you're getting lab tested, you know, official, know what you're getting marijuana, which I buy that as a thing that people would want to kind of be sure of what they're getting here. You know, she mentions she's working with a lot of these companies, but she's mentioning the sticker shops, some of the other dispensaries that have opened up as, you know, being unregulated to the point where you don't really know what the product is. They can, because it's unregulated, kind of sell anything. And, you know, I buy into that. But there's so many people buying this stuff already that I'm wondering where the customers are. And I'd have to question if I'm one of these people who are going to be granted a license maybe on Monday. You know, man, is this business going to be as lucrative as I thought it was going to be when I applied for it 2 years ago? What do you think? 803-0930, we'll go to the phones. Nick is in Collins, joining me now. All right, Nick, were you excited to hear this news? What does it mean for you?
Absolutely nothing. I've lived 2 minutes from Gowanda Res or Seneca Nation there. I've been going there for years, and New York State dropped the ball on here. I work in West Seneca. I live in Collins. I'll fill up my truck for, you know, under $100. It's $3.78 a gallon for diesel out here. It's $5.20, $5.30 in West Seneca. I could fill up my truck for under $100 and get a free pre-roll. You can't beat that. And New York State's going to tax it. There's no way they can keep up with the pricing on the res. You get ounces for $75, $100.
You get a free joint with a tank of gas?
Yeah, if you spend more than $50, you get a free pre-roll. It's like 2 grams. It's huge.
What a deal. But the argument here is that why these are more attractive is that the product is regulated. You know what you're getting. You sound like you don't really have that kind of concern with where you're going right now.
No, that's a load of BS. The only thing the license means is New York State's getting a cut of the money. I mean, any regular connoisseur can look at it and be like, yep, that's pot. You know, if there's some kind of, you know, fentanyl or additive or something like that, I mean, you can tell. And, I mean, people aren't going to be putting drugs into marijuana to get people more addicted. They're not going to spend more money to try and, you know, increase their buyers. It doesn't really work like that. It's not like you're cutting, you know, powder or something like that.
Do you think most people are kind of feeling the same way, Nick, where, I mean, these stores are going to open up. There's going to be a lot of fanfare, hubbub. Like, you'll have a lot of news stations treating this as if it is the very first, right, like, dispensary anywhere in the state. But do you think most people are just going to kind of be like, I'll stop there if I'm in town, maybe?
Possibly. I feel like most people think like me and think New York State's a joke. I mean, anyone, maybe in the city, they don't feel like driving out to the res. They'll get it there. But you're still going to have the illegal shops in the city. I mean, people have been buying and smoking pot in the city for 50, 60, 100 years. The black market's still going to be there unless the state can underprice what the guy in the corner is selling it for. It's always going to be there.
Hey, Nick, thanks for the call. I think a lot of people are in Nick's shoes. Like, look, if you, you can't really say smoke anymore. Does anybody smoke pot anymore? You vape or eat it or drink it? I mean, you know, anything. There's probably people who smoke pot. But however you use it, if you're using it right now, you probably have your way of getting it, and unless it's way more convenient for you, are you jumping out of your chair being like, finally, I can buy the taxed version? And, you know, so then you're left with, like, new users. And are we attracting a lot of new marijuana users now? I never thought that was the case. Maybe I'm wrong on this. And it does open the door, and then all of a sudden, you know, you, your grandparents, and everyone else are like, well, I guess it's okay now. I'll start smoking pot. I've always kind of thought it's just people who smoke will continue to, and they're going to be the people who keep this market afloat. Not so much people trying it for the first time and saying, you know, after like 50 years of clean and sober living, you know, I'm just going to light one up in the backyard now. Like, I don't see that's the way that people are going. Maybe I'm wrong. 803-0930. I'll be back here this and more and taking your calls 803-0930 on WBEN.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, Brian Mazeroski on WBEN. 803-0930, if you still want to weigh in on marijuana. Are you going to be going to any of these state-authorized recreational marijuana dispensaries expected to open soon in Buffalo? No longer being blocked in the courts. It's happening. I just can't see, you know, people who are smoking weed, eating, vaping, whatever, right now, saying like, yes, you know, I've been doing it for 30 years from wherever, but, you know, finally I can get the taxed version. I don't see. If the new dispensary opens around the corner from you, like, yeah, you'll probably go there, but is anybody going out of their way? I don't know. Somebody was commenting, pointed out to me on our text board that, yes, people are still smoking weed because you can smell it everywhere. That's true. And someone else, the walk out of the arena, if you go toward Cobblestone from like the parking ramp to, you know, like the DL&W, that's like prime. You can always. Anyways, someone else said, hey, I've smoked marijuana for a while and we'll just always go where it's cheaper. We feel like it's a deal. I'm sure there's a lot of people like you. There's probably a lot of people who are saying like, hey, look, I've got my weed from the same place for the last 15 years and I'm not changing if I don't have to. Some people go where it's cheaper. Some people happy to, even if it's the same price or cheaper, I bet you there's a lot of people happy to support the Native Americans and the business over on the res. I bet you there's a lot of it. That's the prevailing thought. Someone, why would I go to a dispensary when I can get it from the buddy down the street for cheaper? I think a lot of it is in the product, where you go to these dispensaries and it's not just what you've been getting for the last 20 years. I mean, you've seen the ads probably if you use social media, or, you know, you've seen one of the insides of these dispensaries before, where you're not getting a joint. I mean, you can get that. You can get a soft drink, you know? I mean, like, you know, a marijuana version of a beer. Like all these other things that are available now. I think that's probably the draw that they have, at least initially. We'll see where it goes. And somebody else commenting, you know what? If it's better, then sure. You know, I'll go there. All I want to see is the ribbon cutting, where everyone takes a sample. And 20 minutes later, they're invited on this show. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. Pepsi has a new logo. I want to... So does the Williamsville School District. I love the Williamsville... Guess what the Williamsville School District's new logo is? It's a W. I mean, you know. Yeah. It's the school district in Williamsville. What do you need? Pepsi has a new logo. It is the... You look at it, and it's the same as the old logo. That's what it is. You look at it, and you say, oh, yeah, it's a Pepsi. That was on the cans in, like, the 90s. I love the corporate speak in press releases when there's like stupid or silly little things. One of my favorite things, corporate speak on these press releases. That was all over the Pepsi logo release. This is some of the quote. The goal in reimagining the logo. Reimagine. They went back to the old one. Was to infuse, quote, great energy and confidence and boldness. It's a Pepsi logo. They're going to begin making use of the new logo this fall on electric blue and black, not just any blue, electric blue and black cans. Consumer research happened over the course of many years to try and get to this logo, which, as I mentioned, you look at it and you say, yeah, that's the Pepsi logo. The richer electric blue will be used across the portfolio to bring, quote, a contemporary edge to the brand's color scheme. These people earn their millions of dollars. I'll just say that. To take something like the Pepsi logo and make it sound exciting... Hats off to these communications professionals, because that edge, bold, refreshing, contemporary. It's the Pepsi logo. And that's what you see on the board. I want to know from you, 803-0930, what your significant other does that annoys you. And also, things that they watch on TV that you can't stand. Because it came to my attention this morning. I've been kind of thinking this for a while, but it was illustrated again this morning about how nobody is watching the same thing on TV anymore. To point somebody on our text board, I'll get to that in a second, but this is the story, Matt Wolf with more, on the HBO show Succession.
Let's blow it up.
If you were glued to the TV Sunday night watching the ongoing Roy family feud on HBO Succession, you weren't alone. The season 4 premiere drew in 2.3 million viewers, according to Nielsen. That's across HBO's linear and HBO Max platforms. That's up 62% from 2021 season 3 premiere. Now, Succession's first three seasons racked up 48 Emmy nominations and 13 wins, including Brian Cox for lead actor in a drama series.
I need a fire breather.
Matt Wolf, ABC News.
Okay, so this is what the, they provide you with little lead-ins sometimes that you can take or leave. This is what the lead-in said about HBO's Succession. HBO's wildly popular Succession had some big numbers in its season premiere. That was Matt Wolf reporting on that. Big, the largest audience ever for the show. And this is talked about as like the big show that people like. You know, HBO is very popular, wildly popular. Succession. 2 million viewers. That's it. That's what qualifies as wildly popular in the year 2023. I don't get it. I mean, it's to further illustrate the point, I messed up like an hour ago. We mentioned I thought that Damian Lewis was in Succession. He played Dick Winters in Band of Brothers. Somebody texted in and pointed out, no, he's on Billions, not Succession. I thought they were the same show. That's my mistake. I didn't know the difference. And I thought it was weird to hear him, you know, talk in his English accent. I was mixing up shows. He's on Billions, not this show. This is another, quote-unquote, wildly popular show. But wildly popular is how you describe something with 2 million viewers in 2023. And I wanted to, you know, get some perspective on that. You know, what was wildly popular? I looked up the ratings in May of 1999. ER, wildly popular. 27.5 million viewers. And remember, they were all tuning in at once. It wasn't like this. You could watch it whenever. That's all at once. 27.5 million viewers. Friends, Frasier, over 20 million people. The X-Files, 15 million people. Everybody Loves Raymond, 15 million people. And I said, well, if wildly popular is 2 million viewers, I mean, what was that back then? Well, Between Brothers on UPN got 2 million viewers. That was, I don't think that's anyone's idea. No one knows what that is. Brothers Keeper on ABC from the same time period averaged 10 million viewers during its run. It was canceled after one season because ABC was looking at 10 million viewers. No one's watching this. Get it off. Now 2 million is wildly popular. And it shouldn't be a surprise. We have like way more. By the way, like wrestling, WWF, WCW just kicked the butt of 2 million viewers week in and week out, every single hour. 8 million people viewed it. Hey Arnold on the Nickelodeon network beat 2 million. Succession, I mean, come on. You can't even beat the cartoons. But it illustrates this idea that nobody is watching the same thing anymore. If our wildly popular shows only have 2 million viewers, then what's everybody else watching? And I get some of the ideas when I come home. You know, usually now the way our schedule works out with our newborn, he's like a month and a half old. He's older than a newborn, right? Almost 2 months old. When do you stop being a newborn? Anyways. Now, like, my wife will be watching some TV while feeding our newborn. And she's always watching just junk. Like, it's like The Bachelor, or it's any show that has people who don't know each other get married, or is like something revolving a marriage that you know is going to fail as soon as the cameras turn off. Like, that is what she's watching 90% of the time. Like, that's right up her alley. And I once upon a time, I would have called that, she'll call it trash TV and openly admit that. But I would have said that's like terrible. Like, how can anybody watch that? I see how people watch it. It's just, you know, it's something stupid on TV. Something to pass the time if, like, you have to be in a seated position for, 30 minutes or something like that. Like, that's whatever you're going to watch. But, like, that's what she watches. And I just let her watch it. And, like, sometimes that'll continue. I have said when my first son was born, I never watched more TV than I did right then. Because that's all you were doing. And one, it was 2020 and everything was closed. I mean, there was nothing going on. So I was watching TV all the time. You're taking care of them. You're feeding them a bottle and you turn on the TV. And I watched so many shows. All this different stuff. Now it's like you don't have, with two, I don't have time to do any. But in the middle of the day, she does. If, our oldest is out at daycare or whatever. But she's always why I let her. I don't watch anything. I hardly watch anything on TV unless it's a game. I watched the soccer game the other night. I'll watch the soccer game on Saturday afternoon, but that's about it. But like everybody's watching something differently, and we've lost, like, you can no longer walk into your office and talk about a show. Like, you might have not liked Friends, but everyone watched, or Seinfeld, or, you know, what else is on this list from 1999? ER, Frasier, Law and Order, The X-Files, Home Improvement. But, like, over 10 million people are watching. You could probably go to work the next day and start talking about it, and at least some people would know what you're talking about. Now, you can't talk to anybody about what you're watching on TV, or, I mean, you can go further, what you're listening to or anything like that, because it's just, there's so many options. Everyone's got something differently. Jim, what are you watching on TV? He's saying like nothing. But there's no way that we are watching the same thing on TV, are we? You go home today. What are you watching?
I don't even know if my TV will go on today. It'll probably go on to a streaming service.
Yeah, but what are you watching on that streaming service?
Outer Banks.
Outer Banks. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay, so you're watching Outer Banks. I know Susan watches Yellowstone.
Yep.
I don't watch either, though. We're all watching something differently. Like, there's no longer a click, turn on the channel, and we're all, like, on the same page. In a way, there was that study on patriotism. Like, how important is patriotism to you? And, like, the numbers are way down. How important is a sense of community? Like, I don't know. Is that related at all? Like, we have, like, lost all of the commonality between us? Anyway, so but what is it for you? Where you're walking in, your significant other has something on the TV or annoys you. This happened to me yesterday again. The thing that my wife does that annoys the heck out of me is the TV stuff doesn't annoy me. I don't care. Watch whatever you watch. But she must be allergic to closing caps and lids all the way. Like, you got anything in the house, a jug of milk, the shampoo in the shower, anything that has, you know, any sort of screw-on lid or thing that clicks tight, it's never fully on. It drives me up a wall. I can't figure it out. Like, why is that? The baby wipes. Right by the changing table now. It'll all, you know, the thing will be left open. And the last wipe will be left. All the cleaning stuff in the bathroom. And it's like you can't complain about it because what am I going to do? Complain that you cleaned the bathroom? But like all the stuff when I go to pick it up, like all the lids are just like slightly open. The toilet bowl cleaner is just like, it's not fully, you know, locked in and screwed in. Caps too. My son takes like a gummy multivitamin. And when I get there in the afternoon, he'll always say, you know, they're shaped like a character. And he's like, oh, we forgot my gummy. And I'm like, well, did we? You only get one of these. Did we? I don't even have to ask mom anymore because I can just check. And if it's not fully closed, I know that you did get one this morning because it was open. It wasn't like fully screwed on tight. You see it throughout the house. Like everyone has something like that. It's not like the biggest annoyance in the world, but it's just like that little thing. It's like, oh my goodness. How do we develop that habit? Mine for my wife, she texts me about this. She would tell you, leaving my clothes on the floor. I feel like this is a guy thing where I know it is because she sent me, somebody apparently posted about doing this exact same thing that I do. And someone will back me up on this. You know, in your bedroom, you have the dirty clothes hamper. All right, dirty clothes will go there. We have one in our bedroom, one in the bathroom. You put your dirty clothes there. But I also have, next to my side of the bed, on the floor, clothes that are halfway there. It's a pile of clothes that are not fully dirty yet. I'm going to wear them again before they go in the wash. Like it might be a hoodie or something like that, a pair of pants. I mean, don't worry, it's not socks or underwear. But, you know, a shirt or something like that, it doesn't need to go in the wash right away. I know I'm going to wear it again, maybe like an outer layer of clothing, but I take it off and it just goes on the floor by my bed. That's the TBD pile or to be worn again pile. Drives her up a wall. She can't stand it. She doesn't understand it. She'll take the clothes and put them in the hamper. I'll walk in and go, where did my shirt go that I was going to wear? She's like, well, you put it on the floor. It was dirty. It wasn't dirty. It was in the pile to be worn again. Come on. That's the thing that she would say drives her absolutely crazy. She doesn't close lids. I use my floor pile. Rick in Lockport, you're on WBEN. What is it your significant other drive you crazy?
Picking up clothes. I'm like you. I'll wear a shirt 2 days in a row if I'm going to see two different people. If I'm going to see the same group of people, yeah. I'll change my shirt.
You got to disguise it. Or if you're doing one, like you wore it once, you didn't do any, like you sat down for dinner, you wore it for a few hours, and then tomorrow you'll wear it, you know, going to the gym or something like that.
That's exactly it. Now, the TV show you were talking about.
Okay.
Everybody I know watches Ghosts.
Ghosts?
Yes.
Wait, I know this show. This is the one that there's always promos for during Bills games, right? It's on CBS?
Yes.
And it's like, let me guess the premise. It's someone moves into a haunted house and there's all these ghosts.
Well, it's a bed and breakfast. And the girl, the main character, her great-great-great-great-great-aunt used to live there. And so now she haunts it with a bunch of different people who at one time stayed at that place.
Okay. So Ghosts is yours. I don't know. I have to say, Rick,
yep.
I don't know a single person who watches it. But I'll take your word for it that it's popular. And thank you for the call. But, you know, that just goes to show that where people are, everyone's got, you know, their own thing that they're watching. I don't know what day of the week Ghosts is on. I'm trying to find how many people are watching Ghosts on a daily basis. Because when I look at the ratings, all I see on is The Bachelor. Like 18 hours of The Bachelor they show on TV every single week. And that's about it. Nothing else. The Bachelor, Shark Tank, 2020, there's wrestling. And then I think that's it. I'm pretty sure that's all that's on TV. but Ghosts, I guarantee you this. When I find those numbers, Ghosts, I would say for sure, is more popular than the quote-unquote wildly popular Succession. I know without even looking, more people are watching Ghosts than something that's labeled, you know, wildly popular. That's just what I'm going to guess. But no, the clothes pile. Come on, get with it, people. See, I'm not alone. Thanks for backing me up on this. I'll be back tomorrow, by the way, and bright and early. Is Joe back here with me tomorrow? That's the answer I would have expected. I don't know. We'll see. And we'll see. Maybe you'll be surprised. Thanks for hanging out with me. You got David after the news with Randy and Joe after that. And for Tom, Brian Mazurowski on WBEN.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.